welcome to the Sexy and a Squirrel podcast, the podcast that turns dog training on its tail with a whirlwind of playful learning that achieves real life results. Each episode is packed with inventive games-based training solutions supported by our Games Club, the ultimate dog training membership with a team of pro trainers helping you every step of the way. Think of us like your go-to squad of experts. I'm Lauren Langman. I'm a top-level agility competitor. I'm a best-selling author, owner of the largest dog training facility in the UK, and a founder of the Sexy in a Squirrel Challenge, a challenge that's helped over 130,000 dog owners get real-life results. Our team consists of experts in scent work, obedience, detection, search and rescue, tracking, and the intricacies of why your dog does exactly what they do, and so much more. Our mission, whether you're wrangling a bitey sharky puppy or you're teaching an old dog new tricks, we are here to help you be the very best dog owner that you can be for your dog. So grab your dog, their favourite reward, and a sense of adventure. It's time to transform your training sessions. Ready, set, play. Let's welcome you to the Sexy in a Squirrel podcast powered by the Games Club. Hello and welcome to the Sexy in a Squirrel podcast, the podcast that gives you some really cool blooming dog training. Today, we're talking muzzles, and we're talking muzzles for so many different reasons. But ultimately, Sam, I know you wanted to talk muzzles today. And who was I to say no? I love the fact that we've got responsible owners out there. And I feel way safer seeing a dog in a muzzle with an owner who obviously is responsible compared to a dog who is running around, no recall, total recall, fail, and actually should probably be wearing a muzzle. So what made you and what led you to want to talk muzzles today?
So it started off quite recently in the UK. We've had a very recent ban on XL bullies. And as part of that, one of the requirements is that those dogs now need to wear a muzzle in public. So if they're out on walks at any time, they have to be on lead and they have to wear a muzzle. And I have a few friends that have very large breeds. One of them does have one that would potentially be classed as an XL bully, and they'd never muzzle trained. And so they'd come to me for a little bit of help, and it really kind of made me realize that there are now going to be potentially hundreds of thousands of people in the UK that don't have dogs that are muzzle trained, and have never really thought about having to do it. And suddenly they may be having to slap a muzzle on their dogs and their dogs aren't ready for it. So we really wanted to help the community understand how to do this in a positive way for their dogs, so that their dogs love wearing a muzzle, because a muzzle does not have to be a horrible thing for your dog to wear. We really can condition them and help them understand it's a really cool thing to wear, and it makes everybody feel safer, and it just generally makes your dog in better headspace, feel happier on their walk, and they can still have a wonderful, wonderful life.
Now, I've been looking for this whilst we're talking, and I found we've got a really cool free resource. So if you haven't already got this one, guys, I am saying please go and get it. It's absolutedogs.me/muzzle-up. So it's absolutedogs.me/muzzle-up, and it's a free resource. It's on mastering the muzzle. It's an ebook and it's completely free, and we'd love you to share it all over the world. It's completely free and we want to help dog owners. That is exactly what this podcast is about. It's about helping dog owners and helping dogs all over the world have a better time together. And that really is our calling. And so, Sam, I know that you are really keen to get this one out. And obviously, we're going to talk tips. We're going to talk tricks. We're going to talk hacks for getting your dog muzzle trained. But we're also going to say, go and get that free resource because it's there for you. It's beautifully presented. It literally is a gorgeous looking resource with loads and loads of content. It is completely free. I'm going to show it to those of you that can actually see it here, but it is a really, really, really great resource. And what we would love you to do is access it and share it with your friends. So I'm going to say that one out once more. It's absolutedogs.me/muzzle-up. And if you're driving and you're doing super cool net time where you're doing, I'm on a podcast, I'm spending no extra time and I'm feeling sexy. If you're doing that and you're out there on your drive, then literally do it when you're parked up and remember the time span that we're at. Anyway, top tips for muzzles. My number one is going to be play with the muzzle. I actually did some play with Tokyo and I got him to do some retrieving, some shaping, some little games with the muzzle, because he's quite offended by a muzzle and he's quite a sensitive dog. I had a greyhound, a lurcher, when I was growing up and I was about 11, and she had no problem with the muzzle, Sam, because she'd always been conditioned to use it. So she had no issue with the muzzle. However, she'd always grown up doing racing. So she was a racing greyhound before I had her, and I got her at 6, 7, probably. And she was already conditioned. She'd already worn it. She knew what it was about. She just wore it like it was a collar. She had no issue with it. Tokyo, if you put it on him, he'd be digging at his face, he'd be rubbing it around, he'd be squealing, he'd be like, I mean, he'd be a real, like, complete plonker. Plonker is a British word, means fool. And he would be a complete plonker. He would be like plonker, plonker, nudging, pulling, plonker, plonker. And so I can just see him now being like,
just foolish. And so for me, it would be about showing him it's a good deal. So shaping it, get him to come with you, not allowing him to be too wary about it, too sensitive about it, too anxious about it, too worried about it. It'd be really a good, like, let's skill him up. So that would be my number one tip. How about you, Sam?
My other tip would be grow it before you need it. So I think that if we can get started with this now, if your dog has never worn one before, we can really get started on this straight away. So whether you think your dog needs a muzzle or not is not the issue. I think let's grow it, because then if we ever need it, it's there and it's ready to go. So that would be my kind of top tip there. Let's get started on this right now. So get stuck into that resource right now.
I would agree. So if you haven't, guys, got the Muzzle Up resource, it's absolutedogs / muzzle up. And I would say, Sam, this exact example is really true. You don't ever know when you're going to need it. So I went abroad and it was really compulsory. I was trying to think of the word. It was compulsory that you had to have your dog on a muzzle. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Second thing, we lectured in a university. And when we lectured in a university, it was compulsory. They were muzzled going on site. So I've had two instances where Blink had to wear a muzzle. And Blink is not the type of dog you ever expect to need to muzzle. She's just a really cool dog. But it's absolutedogs.me/muzzle up. I've just been corrected. absolutedogs.me/muzzle up. And so please, 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 abso-freaking-lutely, go train it before you need it, just like Sam said. Back to you, Sam. What's our next one?
My next one would be, how about we use something that actually is not the muzzle to get started? Because then, you know, if it goes wrong and they're feeling a bit anxious about it, then we don't have to worry about it. So my top tip for that would be, get yourself an empty plastic bottle, cut the end off, put some tape around the end so it's not sharp, so we're nice and safe for our dogs. And that way you can reward your dog for, we can reward our dogs for any interaction with that empty lid bottle. But if they put their head in there, actually we can post little bits of food through the lid, which is really cool. So we can have them realize that it's a cool thing to put your face in things.
Post box muzzle. And depending on your dog's face, guys, get bigger or smaller. Those of you like, my dog wouldn't fit in that. Well, let's get a bigger bottle. There's always a bigger bottle, especially if you go to America. Oh my God, everything.
They're massive.
Everything. So yeah, my next tip for muzzles would be teach confidence. I think dogs who have confidence are more likely to accept a muzzle. And so I would teach more confidence games. So games like we play in Games Club. If you're not part of Games Club, get on the Absolute Dog Store, go and grab it. It's amazing. I want to see you there. Sam wants to see you there. There are so many cool courses in Games Club, and basically your whole training journey is there for you. But I would definitely say with confidence and optimism, the more confident and optimistic your dog is, the less offended they will be. And the less offended they are, the easier it is to teach a muzzle. And so the dogs that are very sensitive or easily offended, they're going to be harder to teach the muzzles. Over to you, Green Eggs and Ham. What's your tip, lady?
My next one would be, don't rush it. So I think what we have a tendency to do as humans is get very excited and really rush to the finish and really want to get that end result. Take your time on this. You don't always have to make it harder. Sometimes you can just go back a step and have easy wins. And that way our dogs are feeling like they're winning. They're feeling like they're accomplishing something, and they don't feel like it's going to get really punishing and hard, because nobody wants anything to be hard. We want it to be fun and lighthearted and for them to have fun with the muzzle. And that's what's going to get a dog that's really confident and really loves wearing that muzzle no matter the situation.
Love it. My next one is going to be, make sure your muzzle fits and get the right muzzle for you. So the muzzle I used for Tokyo when I was doing muzzle training was a nice plastic one. Whereas if I was using a muzzle on a greyhound, I would always use like a real basket, like light framed wire one. Little greyhound or little thin, fine dog. They're so sort of slinky and malinky, I want to call them. Slinky malinky. They're like fine and little. So I love those sorts of muzzles on them. So again, that is what I'd be thinking. And I think that's really, really important. So for me, get it fitted, preferably in a nice color. I think that why not make your muzzle color, and why not make your muzzle look a little bit fun? So over to you, Green Eggs and Ham.
On the top of that one, you can actually get those ones where you can take a gap out in the front, which means you can feed your dog through it still. So that means that when you are out and about on your own walks, and you can still train with them, you can still reward them for really good choices. So it's not going to be a detriment to your kind of just general training away from the muzzle. So that'd be, I guess I'm agreeing with you. I haven't given you an extra tip. I've given you a tip on top of a tip.
Top tip. Top. And my next one would be help to educate other people. So share the muzzle resource all over the world, like literally share it, because the more people that are aware of muzzles, the less that they are a problem for people. So many people are like, no, don't use that. No, that's not good. No, let's not like like worried about a dog in a muzzle, or like immediately cross the road when they see a dog in a muzzle. I always think when I see someone with a dog in a muzzle, wow, good owner, look at you, get you, you're doing a great job. I'm really impressed. And so for me, I'm really excited that someone's got a muzzle on a dog. I think it's a really great thing that they've got a dog in a muzzle. I'm really excited lately. I'm so excited by how many people I see playing games with their dogs. I'm like, oh, the games-based training revolution is on. And someone said to me the other day, do you ever get like insecure as a pro dog trainer that other people are just going to take over you? And I'm like, no, I'm really happy that games-based dog training is going somewhere. And for me, I love that, which is why we ask you to share what we're doing here, because we know that there is a great space for it. It's free. Why not get someone else on board? Like, why not? It's going to help my dog to meet more dog owners that know what they're doing. I'm still not angry, just a little bit upset about being chased by a dog on a horse the other day. And I think that that's quite a big deal. And I wish owners took their dog ownership a bit more sort of responsibility, like, is there. Like, you need to think about, I want you to be more responsible with your dogs. And I'm absolutely in the same boat. I want to make sure that Eliza or me are making sure we're responsible when our dogs are out there. Of course, there are always going to be mistakes. That is just the law of human nature and animals and dogs. But ownership and responsibility is key. So I'm going to say, share it. It's going to help make other owners more responsible. It's going to help educate. And I'm a massive believer in, let's not get angry with someone for doing the wrong thing. Let's not get angry with someone for making a mistake. Let's not get like upset with someone for not knowing better. When we know better, we do better. Let's educate. Let's help people understand things. Let's educate them. I'm not someone for like massive punishments. I'd be someone like, let's educate someone. Let's help them do better.
I think definitely. I think it can be a difficult situation when you don't know what you don't know, right? And a lot of people, I think, don't know what they don't know. And I definitely was one of those people. So let's help people understand more about their dogs and more about their dog's behavior and how they can help them. And as a result, everybody will generally have a better behaved dog, and then everybody will generally have a better time about it. So I think, yeah, the more that we can spread and share that word, and I'm really passionate about this. I absolutely love this way of training. And one of the big things for me is that this training is fun and accessible and easy to use, and it gets results, you know, because your dog's having fun as well. And so for me, this is just the best way to train. I just love it. And I'm really passionate about it because I enjoy it so much. So definitely share it out there and get more people involved with this amazing way of communicating and interacting with your dogs. Really, really cool. And I've got another one with muzzles. So don't make a drama of it. Like, it's, some of you now have to have your dog in a muzzle, all right? And it's really easy to get down on that and feel really sort of negative about it and get angry at the law that has brought this in and that are making our dogs wear these muzzles and they're going to lose all of their freedom. And I think what we've got to look to is the future of the fact that this has happened, and how can we now move forward and do the best we can with what we've got, and really looking at making this a positive experience for your dog is going to still give them an amazing time. We can build enrichment into their lives in many, many ways. Walks are not the only way. And this is one to make it really positive. There's loads of games that you can play at home with your dog that are really going to grow like love of just life still. So this is not over. We can still have an amazing life for our dogs. And this is one of the ways that we can make it really positive rather than seeing the negatives.
I love that, Sam. And what I really love is control the controllable. You cannot control the law the government brings out. What you can control is your way of responding to it. And your way of responding to it is going to be awesome. You're going to absolutely love your dog more than ever. You're going to make sure you give your dog enrichment in different ways in the home or out and about doing scent. Or there's nothing stopping them scent when they've got a muzzle on. There's nothing stopping you rewarding them when they've got a muzzle on. You just need to think of differently about how you reward them. And of course, none of us want this necessarily for any dog. And at the same time, you know what? Control the controllable. If it's out of your control, let's not try and sort of, like you said, make a drama out of something that you've got no control over. And ultimately, it's going to affect the happiness of your dog's day as well as your day. Because if you're not feeling great, your dog's going to take that. I love that about dogs. When I get up and I'm like, this is a great day, my dog's like, yes, it's a great day. If I get up and I'm like, oh, I'm really feeling a bit rubbish, and they're like, why is she feeling a bit rubbish? Your dogs are very, I think, emotionally intelligent, in tune to you. And so for me, I think we want to tell them it's a great day. Like, why is it not a great day? And I get they get to wear a muzzle, but one of my dogs, she had an accident a few years ago, and she went completely paralyzed from it, a sprinting accident, just running across a field. She was paralyzed pretty immediately, and she's absolutely fine now. So she has recovered. And at the same time, she thought nothing of it. It was me that was upset. It was me that was emotional. It was me that was like traumatized. She was just like, okay, now I have two legs. Like it was immediate. And she still isn't completely normal in the way she walks. She's ataxic, which means she looks like she's a bit drunk, lucky her all the time. But what I would say is that she is really accepting of it. The person who's not accepting of it always is me. And I think it's really important that we don't try and humanize our dogs in the sense that they probably are pretty cool with the deal, other than there's something on the face that they need to be trained properly to wear. So make sure it's a nicely fitted muzzle, make sure it's not going to rub them, make sure you maybe put some, there's something called mole skin that you can sort of put on, things like that, to make it softer for them to wear. I used to put it on like head collars when I would use head collars to stop pulling. And I think it's just really important to acknowledge that let's make it as good as it can be. Let's make it as good as it gets. And my dad, he's poorly, he's terminal cancer. And I think the same thing there. I'm like, why not? He's the same. He's like, how can I make it the best day that I can make it for me? I get that I can't do all the things I used to do. I get that I can't go sort of, I don't know, running around all day, but actually I can do this and I can do that. And I think that's what we've got to do. We've got to look at it is, like you said, Sam, let's look forwards, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think our dogs are so good at living in the moment. I know there's a rescue that I volunteer at, and he's actually not there anymore. He's been rehomed. He's really happy. But there was a really lovely dog called Chance, and he was a greyhound. He had three legs, and you wouldn't know it. I mean, the sad thing is that he came back from a home because he'd killed a sheep. So this is a dog with three legs that had managed to get hold of a sheep, and he now has to wear a muzzle. And so, you know, one of the reasons he has to wear a muzzle is because, you know, that there's potential that could happen again. So we want to be safe, and he's fine with it. But this dog has got three legs, and, you know, nothing is stopping him from doing what he wants to do. And I think our dogs are so good at living in that moment that we really need to almost embrace that ourselves and kind of just look forward and how can we make the best out of this situation, you know?
So we're here to support you. We're here to serve you. We're here to look after you. We are Absolute Dogs. And your resource is absolutedogs.me/muzzle-up. We want you to get that resource. We want you to share it with all your friends. It's free. It's completely free. Brand spanking new. Brilliant resource. And that was this episode of the Sex and Squirrel podcast. Thank you, Sam, for joining us. It has been immense.
It has been immense. And all I say is share if you care. So even if you've got a friend that has a bigger dog and maybe you don't need a muzzle, but they might, share it with them, you know, pass the love on. So share if you care. But thank you for having me.
Share if you care. Oh, Sam, you're so welcome. Are you coming back soon?
Always, forever, as much as you'll have me.
Always, forever. Listen to her. Isn't she gorgeous? Anyway, guys, that was this episode of Sex and Squirrel podcast. Please join us next week where we get to dive deeper into some super cool dog training and maybe a little bit of human training too. Guys, that was a pleasure, a true pleasure. Get your resource, share it, like Sam says, because you care, and we'll see you next time.